Just want to slightly remind us that we've already gone through the first part of this, who is the beast? Who is the beast? A lot of people have a lot of different ideas on who is the beast. I know as I look at the world today and prophecy, it's what's going around us today. It looks to me like we're very close to the return of Christ. And of course, Mr. Armstrong said we were in the gun lap, and that's been a long time ago. He died back in 1986. But the world is a far different world today than it was back then. It is far worse. It's not just better news reporting. It is worse. And we can see it every day. I remember whenever this worldwide was going off track, and I remembered how it used to be, we would hear sermons and Bible studies on prophecy. And soon afterwards, I just wished that, you know, an elder or someone had come with us that could go through these things and explain them to us. But this is a pretty important subject. Who is the beast? If you have his mark, you must suffer the seven last plagues. Is he a mysterious Superman, world dictator, yet to appear? Is he the Antichrist, or a government, or a church? I remember, and I related to you earlier, as a child, and having this read to me, and of course my parents weren't in the church and weren't even attending the church service, I just knew that this was going to be some kind of genetic engineered beast or something. It's going to be some literal beast going around with all these body parts, seven heads, 10 horns. And I just kind of thought it's kind of like a Bible, King Kong and Godzilla is just going to wipe out the earth. But whenever we look at the Bible, we can realize these mysterious animals, these beasts that we see, are actual symbols for something else. But we have to go to the Bible to find out what these symbols are. Now, we mentioned before back there in around Daniel 2, around that area, King Nebuchadnezzar had a vision. He had a dream, and he saw this great big statue, apparently in the shape of a man. And it was huge, and it troubled him. And he felt that this was a special dream, and it was. And he called his astrologers and all those people that were supposed to know the supernatural. And he says, tell me the dream, and then give me the interpretation. And they all said, uh-oh. They said, no king ever asked this of his magicians, of his astrologers. If you'll tell us a dream, we'll be glad to tell you the interpretation. But the king wanted to know that they really knew the interpretation. So when they couldn't do that, he said, off with your heads or whatever. We're going to put all of you to death. And Daniel heard about it, and Daniel said, ask the king to let me come. And of course, Daniel then went to God and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to ask him to give them the king's dream. Can you imagine that? Show me what the king dreamed, and then give me the interpretation. So he did, and God did give it to him. And the king knew that it was true because Daniel was able to tell him what he dreamed. He knew this was no fake. So in Daniel 2, in the interpretation in verse 37, you, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beast of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold. He is a world empire. He was that head of gold. But after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours, then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth, and a fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron. Inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, that kingdom will break in pieces and crush all others. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay. And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Inasmuch as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces, the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. So he gave him a dream about world governments, and he showed him here four world governments, starting with Nebuchadnezzar. And then he brought out another government, the kingdom of God, that God would set up, and it would be without end. And it would smash all these worldly governments. It would cease. And so it's interesting, whenever Jesus came preaching the gospel in Mark 1, verse 1, I believe, in verses 14 and 15, what message did he preach? He preached one of world government, that he was coming back to set up a world government. So he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God, a literal government that's going to be set up on this earth. So then we also went through about these beasts. Now, if we'll look at Daniel 7, I just want to review this quickly for us before we start going further. Over in Daniel 7, let's look at verse 4. Let's start in verse 3. Well, let's go on back to verse 2. I'll get it right here in a minute. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. From what I understand, that's talking about the Mediterranean. And four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second beast, like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said, thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. After this, I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that went before it, and it had 10 horns. And as I was considering the horns, there was another horn, a little one coming up among them. And we're going to get into that, who that little horn is. And before whom the three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in his horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. And it starts then talking about the throne being set up here on this earth. So these are symbols here, as we're going to get into. These four beasts are symbols of world government. And of course, there was Nebuchadnezzar's. And so the first beast was Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. As we go through, the second beast was the Medo-Persian kingdom. Then the third beast was the Greco-Macedonian kingdom. And then the fourth beast, the Roman Empire. And there'll be 10 horns or 10 governments that come out of the Roman Empire after it receives its deadly wound. So the first head was Babylon, the Chaldean Empire, from around 625 to 539 BC. The second head was the Persian Empire, and the second beast. The first beast was a lion, the second beast was a bear. The Persian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire. Then the third beast, leopard with four heads. And it's important to note the four heads. It was Greece under Alexander the Great. And he died, as we saw earlier, I think is around 30 or 33 years of age. He was very young. I think they said in a drunken stupor. He died. Then his four generals divided up his kingdom into four different kingdoms. So it's interesting how God described it having these four heads. The fourth beast, strong as iron, likewise, again, represents the Roman Empire from 31 BC AD to 476. I don't know if I gave you the dates for the Persian Empire, but it was 558 to 330 BC. The Greco-Macedonian, with its four divisions, began in 333. And of course, the Roman Empire, 31 BC to 476 BC. While having that 476 BC, it received the deadly wound. So then, when it received this deadly wound, then starts 10 kingdoms that's coming out of the Roman Empire. Now, the horn is a symbol of a kingdom, a government. So the first one was the Vandals, and you've probably heard of people vandalizing your house, and that's what they did. They were Vandals. AD 429 to 533. Then the Heruli, the Odoacer government, in AD 476 to 493. Then the Ostrogoths, the AD 493 to 554. So that was three horns. These are the three horns that are being plucked up. So these three horns are destroyed at behest of the Pope that filled the transition age. So what we have here is the little horn, the Pope, the papacy. This is the one, it's also the two-horned lamb, dragon image. Also the scarlet woman who rides the beast in Revelation. And they ruled the beast, Babylon the Great. The Roman Catholic Church and papacy is the image of the Roman Empire and its governments. The fourth horn is the imperial restoration of the empire by Justinian. That was AD 554. He recognized the supremacy of the Pope in the West. See, right here starts a combination of church and state. And here, the church rides or rules over the state. It's in charge. It leads and guides this mighty beast, the revived Roman Empire, known as the Holy Empire or the Holy Roman Empire. Justinian recognized the supremacy of the Pope. So what happens here, you had 10 horns, three are now gone. Now you have seven more horns or governments or kingdoms that succumb. And these are ruled over by the Catholic Church. They're all revivals of the Roman Empire. So the fourth horn, which is the first remaining of the seven horns, the deadly wound healed, it will continue for 1260 years going through these horns. 1260 years. Now, that occurred from 554, when it was healed under Justinian, until it ceased 1260 years later, 1814, where Napoleon met his Waterloo. So here we have the fourth horn, the imperial restoration by Justinian. Then the fifth horn is the Frankish kingdom, which began 774, Charlemagne crowned by Pope in AD 800. Then we have the sixth horn, the Holy Roman Empire, the German head, Otto the Great, crowned by Pope in 962. The seventh horn is the Habsburg dynasty, the Austrian head, Charles V, crowned by Pope 1520. And then when you come to this 1260 years, that's the Napoleonic kingdom. So we're up to the eighth horn out of the 10 horns of the beast, but we're up to the fifth horn that's being ridden by the church. So it's, of course, a part of those 10 horns. The ninth horn, which is the sixth of the remaining seven horns, the sixth head ridden by the woman, and it says, is at the time Italy was united by Garibaldi, 1870 to 1945. And we realize that the head there, we had Mussolini actually proclaimed a revival of the Roman Empire, although it wasn't much of one. And we're still looking for one more now. We have one left to go. The 10th horn, which in Nebuchadnezzar's vision was the 10 toes of that big human. It looks like the shape of a human, the way it's described. And it is the 7th or last horn. This is the one that we're waiting on now, as we see, and I think there'll be a new pope. I don't know how much longer this one is going to last. I could be wrong, but I suspect there's going to be another pope different than this one, more conservative. And it says, one is yet to come, the revived Roman Empire by 10 rulers under one leader. So we want to look at some of these beasts there in Revelation as kind of a review of what we had already seen. Now, if you can't keep up with all the notes and everything, all I'm doing is going through the booklet here, Who is the Beast? If you don't have it, of course, it's on our website. So the symbolism of the horns, we just went through that. Let us now notice the symbolism of the horns of the fourth beast of Daniel 7 and of the beast of Revelation 13. What is interesting, before I go on down there, just to back up a little bit, whenever Nebuchadnezzar saw this image of the man, remember it had two legs. And of course, that was the Roman Empire. And what is interesting, the two legs is because communication wasn't like it is today. The empire was so vast, they had two capitals, Rome in the west and then Constantinople in the east. Nebuchadnezzar's image by the two legs describes the two divisions of the Roman Empire after AD 330, west with capital at Rome and east with capital at Constantinople. John also pictured this beast, not as a church or as an individual man, but as a powerful government having great army. And if you'll see Revelation 13, verse 4, let's turn over there. It says, let's look at verse 3. And I saw one of its head as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. That's what we talked about. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And of course, that dragon in symbolism, letting the Bible interpret these symbols, is Satan the devil, who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" So notice it is a war-making machine. It is a kingdom with a tremendous, powerful army, a destructive army. Now it says, let us notice the symbolism of the horns of the beast of Daniel 7 and the beast of Revelation 13. The 10 horns symbolize the same thing. The 10 stages of government continuing out of the Roman Empire after its fall, AD 476. the 10 horns out of his kingdom, the fourth, the Roman Empire. 31 BC to 478, 476 AD are 10 kings that shall rise in the kingdoms and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven, not in heaven, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. So ultimately, when Jesus Christ returns, he's going to destroy this beast. He's going to take over all the kingdoms of this world. So let us return to our description of the beast of Revelation 13. Let's read about this beast. And I stood on the side of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his heads a blasphemous name. And now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. And I saw one of the heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. And we just read the next verse, who can make war with it? If you'll notice, this beast is very similar to the one in Daniel, because those four beasts are now been conquered and have all gone into one empire. The first three have been conquered. Rome conquered them, all that territory. And so the symbolism of those beasts, it took the strongest parts of those beasts, the most important parts of those beasts, and combined it within the Roman Empire. But this beast in Revelation here only has one head, but it has 10 horns. Excuse me, it says it has seven heads. I'm getting ahead of myself here. Seven heads and 10 horns. As we know, it's the revived one after the first three horns are plucked up. That's why it still has seven heads. Excuse me. Because the beast there, as we went through, Babylon had one head, that beast. The Persian Empire, it had one head. But then the Greco-Macedonian Empire, it had four, that made six. And in the fourth kingdom, the Roman Empire had one head. So that's the seven heads of these, all these empires combined in one, the Roman Empire. It took over all that territory. So, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. Beast here symbolized is the one which included the royal splendor and kingly power symbolized by the mouth of the lion, Babylon. The ponderous strength symbolized by the feet of the bear, the Medo-Persian Empire. So you can see the parts of these first three beasts are combined into the Roman Empire because he conquered all this territory. And the speed, cunning, and cruelty of the leopard, Greece. Since interpretation of these symbols is found in Daniel 7, and since the fourth beast had 10 horns, the Bible interpretation of the beast of Revelation 13 is the fourth beast of Daniel 7. So the fourth beast of Daniel 7 and this beast here of Revelation 13 is the same beast. So, the Roman Empire of 31 BC to AD 476, the beast described by John in Revelation 13 includes seven heads, but the only head existing at the time John saw this nondescript beast, which includes the most powerful characteristics of all the beasts, symbolizing his predecessors, was that of the fourth beast. The Roman Empire of Daniel, containing the seven heads and also the 10 horns. So the specific one of his heads that was wounded to death was the seventh head of the Roman Empire, out of which 10 horns grew. Now these 10 horns, they were located on that one head. And they represent 10 successive governments, which we just went through in the chart. And I'll just, some of you may not be aware of the chart. Most of us are. But as I went through the dates and the charts and It's in the middle of the book here, and it's very detailed. Across the top, the chapters, the beast, down along the side, and it'll really help you out understand this. It makes it much clearer. One person said a picture's worth 1,000 words, and the chart will really make things clear to you if you study it. So the specific one of its heads that was wounded to death was the seventh head of the Roman Empire, the head out of which the 10 horns grew. And so now these horns are going to come out of that Roman Empire where the deadly wound was inflicted on the beast. And we realize that the first horn, the first government as we went through, was Justinian, where he recognized the Pope. This is where the woman starts to ride the beast. Now, as people look at these things, some have said that pagan. But some will be guided solely by the Bible interpretation of its own symbols. And if we will, the dragon is a symbol which means Satan, the devil. That's found in Revelation 12. Where it says in Revelation 12, verse 9, he was cast out into the earth. The devil is come down unto you having great wrath. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. So we have to let the Bible interpret these symbols, what the beast mean, what the horns mean. If we do that, then we'll come up with the Bible description and understanding of what is the beast? Who is the beast? So they worship the beast, Revelation 13, 4. Therefore, some conclude from this one statement alone that the beast must be the papacy. But that's not correct, not knowing that the people worship the Roman Empire and its emperors. You see, it was a pagan nation, and they worshiped the Roman emperor. They worshiped the empire. Notice how they worship the beast, saying, who is able to make war with him? Again, pointing out that it's a kingdom. The Roman Empire was the greatest war-making power the world has ever known. But the Catholic Church never had an army. This beast killed by the sword, but the Catholic Church never did. So what we're looking at, the beast of Revelation 13, is the Roman Empire. History is full of accounts of the worship of the Roman emperors, for paganism was a state religion. The following is a description from Robinson's Medieval and Modern Times, an older college textbook. The worship of the emperor, in a word, the Roman government, was not only wonderfully organized, everyone was required to join in the worship of the emperor because he stood for the majesty, the glory, and dominion. All were obliged as good citizens to join in the official sacrifices to the head of state as a god. But when the seventh head of this great beast received its deadly wound in AD 476, was at the end. No, the prophecy says his deadly wound was healed. We went through that. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months, the 1260 years. From the time there where, you know, Justinian recognized the Pope until Napoleon met his Waterloo, a period of 1260 years. You see, in the Bible, it has a day for a year, the way it does prophecy, or a year for a day. So 1,260 days is 1,260 years. So from 554 AD, when the deadly wound was healed, to 1814, where Napoleon was defeated, is exactly 1,260 years. Isn't that marvelous? God does everything perfectly. He makes everything work out. So the 10 horns represent 10 successive kingdoms now to fall out of this kingdom. So through the 10 horns growing out of this head, the Roman Empire was from 31 BC to 476. The beast for the 10 horns are now a part of, for the 10 horns are a part of the beast, continue until the second coming of Christ. We have gone through 9 of those horns, but there's one more yet to come. We're looking for a new modern states, a new United States of Europe to come together. A revival of the Roman Empire once again. It's going to be a church and state combined. Only the church will rule the state. And it's described when we get over here in a minute to Revelation 17 as a woman, a whore, riding the beast. If you think about God's church and stuff, Jesus is coming to marry a chaste virgin. A woman is a symbol of a church. So this false whore, this false church then is a symbol of a false church, this false woman, false religion. So I've gone through there how that it was overrun and everything and how it was finally restored. Now, as we look into the beast and everything, and it says that everyone would have to receive a mark. And it talks about the number of the beast, 666, whose number is it? Where should we find that mysterious number 666? Does the Pope, as some claim, wear it on his crown? We have to be careful what we hear when we hear it, to prove to see whether it's really so or not. Because after it was researched and looked into, does the Pope, as some claim, wear it on his crown, identifying him as the beast of Revelation 13, or must we look for it elsewhere? Here are all the scriptures speaking directly of this number. This is found in Revelation 13, verses 17 and 18. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666, or 666. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, over the image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. Note these points. Number one, the beast has a number and may be identified, if we have wisdom, by this number. Number two, the number is 666. Number three, we are told to count the number. That is added up. It's the same Greek word that is used elsewhere, only in Luke 14:28. Count the cost. In the Count the Cost chapter. Number four, the number 666 is the number of the beast. The only Bible interpretation of this symbol, beast, is a kingdom or the king who rules it, and therefore really is a kingdom. Therefore, 666 must be the number of the kingdom or government or empire, as well as that of the king who founds or rules it. Number five, the expression, the name of the beast, or the number of his name, makes plain that the number 666 is the number of the name of the kingdom or empire. Number six expression is the number of a man shown. We must also count this number in the name of the king or ruler over the kingdom identified as the beast. Now, as we all know, Roman numerals. I is 1, V is 5, X is 10. Sometimes there'll be clocks that have these numerals. Well, also it's the same in Greek. And so it also has a number value related to certain letters. And so since the New Testament was primarily written in Greek, then that will be the way that we'll count it in the Greek to find this kingdom, this man. So the founder of Rome. I've been to Rome. Have you been to Rome? Rome, Georgia. Not Rome over there in Italy. But if you go to Rome, Georgia, I've not been there many years, but I assume it's still there. You will see downtown Rome, a wolf with two little boys underneath eating their meal. I think that's supposed to be Romulus and Remus, the founders of Rome. So the founder of the first king of Rome was Romulus. The Roman Empire was named after him. The kingdom. And every citizen in the kingdom bears the same name, a Roman. When John wrote in Revelation telling us to count the number of the beast, he wrote in the Greek language. Consequently, we should look for the name and the number 666 in a language recognized in the Bible, not in Latin. So, in the Greek language here, in which Revelation was written, this name for it is Latinos. Latinos. We talk about Latin people, Latinos, to Latinos. It signifies Latin man, or the name of Latino, of Latium, the name of Latium, from which region the Romans derived their origin, their language. That's where the Romans and their origin was started. The word too signifies Roman. So we have to count these up. So this word too signifies Roman. In the Greek L, we're looking at Latinos, is 30. A is 1, T is 300, E is 5, I is 10, N is 50, 0 is 70, S is 200. Count these figures, they count to exactly 666. It is indeed no coincidence that the name of the kingdom, you know, the Roman Empire, indeed no coincidence that the name of the kingdom is founder and first king. And of each man in the kingdom counts to exactly 666. Certainly the beast stands identified. This beast, its mark, its number, interesting, we know that the sixth that rode, the one that rode the sixth horn, of course, was a time of Hitler and Mussolini. One of the titles or names, so to speak, of Mussolini, and I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, is it looks like Il Duce, Il Duce. The Italian shouted Viva Il Duce, which means long live the chief. Everywhere in Italy was the printed sign VVILDUCE. The VV is the abbreviation used for Viva. AV is used instead of the U, as is very commonly done. While this is a greeting or title, Mussolini actually employed this Il Duce as a name. It is in Latin. If you count it in Latin, V is 5, V is 5, I is 1, L is 50, D is 500, V is 5, C is 100, E has no number. Now count them and you have exactly 666, the number of his name. Now, some will ask, does not the number apply to the Pope? Some teach the words Vicarius Filii Dei are on the Pope's triple crown. And these Latin words in the Roman numerals count 666. Well, again, this is why we got to be careful to research things, because when it was researched, no one has found anything like that written on the Pope's crown. But one of the things that the Pope does call, he does claim to be the Vicar of Christ on earth. Also, for 1260 long years, the popes did reign and rule over the beast. They were, in effect, the religious heads of the empire, ruling over the emperors as well as over the church. I think I'd read one time in history, one of the rulers offended the Pope, and I think he had to crawl on his hands and knees to the Vatican, to the Pope, to beg his forgiveness. That's how powerful that the woman was riding the beast. But it's also significant that this title, Vicar of Christ, when you count it up, also counts 666. So this number is branded on the Roman Empire, on the founder and first king of the Latins, and on every Roman, and even on Mussolini. Could anything be more conclusive? Now I'd like for us to look at the two-horned beast. That's 13th chapter, I think it says. Let's look here. Yeah, 13th chapter of Revelation, and look at verse 11. It says, "Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. And he exercised all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was. He performs great signs so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, the number 666. But you see right here that even though this beast that looks like a lamb, it's not. It's evil. It's a false religious system. It's a false beast, because it says it speaks like a dragon. And even as you read what Paul had to say about false apostles, false ministers, that they would appear as ministers of righteousness, but they're actually Satan's ministers. He said if Satan himself can be transformed into an angel of light, he can also allow people to be deceived in thinking that false ministers are true ministers, that the false church of this world with its protesting daughters, they think that they're true churches, that they're the true church, true ministers, when in fact they have been deceived. So Jesus Christ is described as a lamb, so we know this, trying to picture that it's something good, but it speaks like a dragon, and we went into the symbolism that the dragon is Satan the devil. And he has deceived this whole world. So let's turn over now to Revelation 17. In Revelation 17, it says, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked to me." Let's move on. Oh, yeah. Okay. This is good. "Saying to me, come and I'll show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." This is the Catholic Church. "With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names and blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead, a name was written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth." Notice, "I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement." But the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I'll tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. I don't know if you've heard or not, but I've heard that Rome sits on seven hills. There are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, the other has not yet come. And when it comes, he must continue a short time. Right here, one is, another has not yet come. Mr. Armstrong identified him as Mussolini at that time. He was at that time. It has been ended, war in 1945. It's been a long time now, but we've got one more that is coming. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition. So you see here, stop just a second there, it says that it has seven heads and ten horns. These first three were not written by the beast, by the woman, by the church. It's these last seven, these seven heads that we've been going through. Now, when we come down to this seventh head, it's got ten horns. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. The ten horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. They're going to turn on her, evidently. For God has put it in their hearts to fulfill his promise to be of one mind and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Yes, so as we see here, there's going to be one more revival, and it's going to be made up of 10 kings, 10 horns, 10 governments that's going to give their power to the beast. It's going to be a super government over there in Europe. And in the times past, as we know, it centers around that great sea, the Mediterranean Sea. You may have seen some maps of the Roman Empire in times past. It's going to be huge. For the entire 1260 years, the emperors accepted the popes as such ruling, that was 554 to 1814, as such ruling the nations with a rod of iron as Christ is to do when he really comes. Consequently, they acknowledged the supreme religious power of the popes. The church was organized as a government, as a dual twofold government symbolized by the two horns or kingdoms. See, it had two horns, that beast there that looked like a lamb that spoke like the dragon, because it was a combination of church and state. So it was the papacy. As you realize, and you probably know that, just like people send ambassadors to the United States, Russia, China, or wherever, the Vatican, the papacy, they receive ambassadors too. They are a government. So, consequently, when acknowledged the supreme religious power of the popes, the church was organized as a government, as a dual twofold government symbolized by its two horns or kingdoms, for horns symbolize kingdoms also. It embodied church government, and it also was a state or civil government, always occupying a certain amount of territory over which it alone ruled as an independent sovereign state, in addition to actually ruling over the vast civil kingdom called the Holy Roman Empire. Even today, it is a separate independent sovereign state. Most nations send ambassadors to the Vatican, just as they do to the United States or to Italy, Britain, or the USSR. Notice the second beast was to wield power over all the earth, because it was to cause the earth and them who dwell therein to worship this first beast, whose deadly wound was healed after 554. In most encyclopedias, under article Millennium, you will read the history of this very event, of how the Holy Roman Empire was called the Kingdom of God upon earth. But yet Jesus said his kingdom was not here yet, that he went in the parable of Luke 19 of the pounds, that he was going to heaven to receive a kingdom and come back. And that won't happen until his second coming. I was looking here to see if I could glance at it real quick. But anyways, I think they said the first really recognized pope, I think they said was Leo. I believe it was Leo the First. You can check here in the book. But he had a love of the Roman government, the way it was set up. He thought it was the most marvelous thing. And that's what the government of the Roman Catholic Church, the papacy, was patterned after, the Roman Empire. He made an image to the first beast. So, as we've seen, all nations have been deceived. It says here, this great false church is pictured sitting on a beast having seven heads and 10 horns. A woman riding a horse guides, controls the horse. It does her bidding. It is well known by all who understand Bible prophecy that this 17th chapter of Revelation pictures the Roman Catholic Church ruling over the so-called Holy Roman Empire. And I just want to inject, though, it has daughters, like we read about earlier. Daughters that came out of her in protest. Notice verse 18, this is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Notice verse 2, the inhabitants of the earth have been deceived by this great false church. It has deceived all nations. Notice in 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4, the day of Christ and the coming of Christ shall not come until there be a falling away and a man of sin be revealed. From what I can see of what happened worldwide, it looks to me like we've seen the falling away. We're still looking now for this last revival of this Holy Roman Empire, and for this last religious leader. And it says, will not come till there's a falling away and a man of sin be revealed. He exalts himself above all that is called God. As God, he sits in a temple, claimed to be the temple of God, showing himself to deceive people into accepting him as God. God is our Holy Father. This man then would claim that same title. What do they call him? The Papa. What do they call him? The Holy Father. What do they do? Have you seen them kiss a ring or whatnot? And I remember, I think it's that statue that they claim was Peter, but probably Peter Magus, a statue of him, they about kissed the foot off of it, from what I understand. This man would then claim the same title. The wicked man is to be destroyed then by Christ's second coming. Notice verses 9 and 10, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs, miracles, in lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Here is the head of a vast ecclesiastical empire. We realize the church in Greek is called the ecclesia, right? The called out ones. But here is a false church, performing miracles and lying wonders with which he deceives people everywhere. At Armageddon, the deceiving religious rulers will still be active, clear down to Armageddon in the second coming of Christ. In Revelation 16, verses 13 through 16, are described three foul spirits. They come from the dragon, which is the devil, from the beast, which is the civil Roman ruler, and from the mouth of the false prophet associated with the Roman ruler. Or, continues verse 14, they are the spirits of demons, working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. They are gathered finally at Armageddon, noted. Yet future, the Roman ruler, as the Roman Empire, is again restored, along with a great religious leader, and all in the power and influence of the devil. Working miracles, all prophecies concerning them show these powers doing the same things. Oh, here it is. I was looking for it. That's for you for about the image of the beast and Pope Leo I. Now, this great church, which is a twofold government, deceived the people by saying they should make an image of the beast. Remember, a beast is a government, a kingdom, and it's a Roman Empire in this particular case. That is how this church deceived people. What is an image? The dictionary says it is a likeness, a copy, representation, model, semblance, center part. So here is a great church saying, let us make a model or counterpart of the civil Roman government. For that is what the beast is, a pagan government. Jesus Christ proclaimed the kingdom or government of God, divine government, by will of God and by God's law. Not paganized human government by will of man and man-made laws. His church includes all spirit-begotten saints who have and are led by the Holy Spirit. Christ is its only head, and the kingdom is not of this world. Did you notice it didn't say it was a non-profit? Didn't say it was a corporation? Didn't say it was a building made out of wood and stone or bricks down in the corner? It's the people, the called out ones, that have God's Holy Spirit and led by God's Holy Spirit. They all together form the church. And Jesus Christ is the head of the church. The first pope, in the real sense of the word, was Leo I from 440 to 461 BC. Says the Encyclopedia of Biblical, Theological, and Ecclesiastical Literature, Volume 7, page 629, to him, the form of government of the Roman Empire was the most marvelous thing on earth. It became an obsession. He applied his principles to the church, organized the church into a government, forming the papacy. The church government or organization is the image of the beast. Says Meyer's Ancient History, during the reign of Leo I, the church was set up within the Roman Empire, an ecclesiastical state government, which in its constitution and its administrative system was shaping itself upon the imperial model. It's just like the Roman Empire, the same government. This church government then, according to the historical authority, is in fact a model, a counterpart, an image of the beast, which is a Roman Empire government. The Britannica calls it an ecclesiastical world empire. This image, man-designed and man-ruled church government compelled people to worship the church. And since the church was organized into a worldly government, this was worship of the image, false worship, idolatry. But this church became a mother, and daughter churches came out of her in protest, calling themselves Protestant, and all have worldly political church government. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, Revelation 17:5. Her daughters are called harlots. Together they are called Babylon. They are pagan, teaching pagan doctrines and customs, cloaked in the name of Christianity, and all nations are deceived. Yes, humanized, organized churchianity, not Bible-designed spiritual organism government, is the image of the beast. It is a pagan political counterfeit of God's government. So what does Revelation 18:4 tell you and me? Come out of her, God says. God help us feed. So that ends the Bible study.